Good morning. How are you today? If you'll turn in your Bible with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 12, we see various exhortations that the Apostle Paul gives to the church. And he writes, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." When I read the epistles of Paul in the New Testament, it becomes evident to me that Paul loved the church. And he invested himself in the young church that he helped to establish. Like a spiritual parent, he was constantly giving counsel and advice for living as a follower of Jesus Christ in a lost and sinful world. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church after Timothy, who had been there for a while, came to visit him in Corinth. And evidently, Timothy relayed to Paul some concerns that he had seen and maybe heard from the congregation there in Thessalonica. So Paul wrote this letter to them to help with some of their concerns. Paul wanted to express to them how thankful he was for them. It's always good to be thankful for others. He said he heard from Timothy that some of them were concerned about some of their friends and family that had died and gone before them, because what would happen to them when Christ came back again? Paul wanted to address their concerns. Paul wants to exhort and encourage them to work at a job, and be busy in ministry until Jesus comes. The theme of 1 Thessalonians is eschatological. The book or letter, Paul wrote it as a letter, we know now as the book of 1 Thessalonians, is concerned with certain aspects of the doctrine of last things. Every chapter in this letter has some reference to the promised return of Christ. And why is that important to believers? Because we want to know that he is coming back. He's coming back for us. And no matter whether we went ahead of his coming back or we're going to be here when he comes back, we will be with him. Paul wanted to be assured of that, that they knew that. So instead, this morning, of New Year's resolutions, I would like to offer us, as followers of Christ, some exhortations for the new year, taken from the Apostle Paul himself, that he gave to the church in this letter. First of all, he says, we are to have respect for God-led leadership in our church. He says in verses 12 and 13, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Paul is saying it is unprofitable and not to your advantage for the cause of Christ to oppose or speak negatively of the pastoral, spirit-led work done in the church. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Some people don't believe that, but I believe that. Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 17 says this: Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow concerning the outcome of their conduct. And in verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. After being in vocational ministry for 30 years, I've experienced being opposed in ministerial work. I graduated from seminary in 1981 and went to my first church at Retama Park Baptist Church in Kingsville, Texas, down in just a little bit west of Corpus Christi. In that church, we had a... I went there as Minister of Youth and Education, by the way, in case you didn't... You kind of have to know that to get a hold of the rest of the story. We had a longtime kindergarten Sunday school teacher and her friends that have been teaching kindergarten for years at Retama Park. And here I was, a new upstart coming in. And she came to me one Sunday and said that one of her students ought to be held back in kindergarten because he wasn't ready for the first grade in Sunday school. Now, she was not his parent. She was a worker in the church, a faithful worker in the church. And I told her I really didn't feel like that was a good idea, that we should go ahead and move him up with his friends. Well, the next day, I was in the office, and I received a call from Miss Arnold, was her name. And she said because I didn't agree with her, she and her ladies would not be teaching this next year. I told her, well, what do you say? I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I still felt it's best not to hold that young man back. After talking with the pastor, we both kneeled down in his office and prayed about the situation. We asked the Lord to first work on Miss Arnold's life. Then we prayed to protect the church body from division and to protect it from strife. And then we left it all in the Lord's hands. He said, Lord, you take control of this situation and you work it out. Well, the next week was Vacation Bible School. You know how Vacation Bible School is. We were running around like chickens with our heads cut off. And one day the church secretary came looking for me and said, John, Miss Arnold's on the phone. She was aware of what went on. And she wants to speak to you. I said, oh my goodness. So I went to my office and I sat down and I bowed my head and said a brief prayer. And then I picked up the phone and greeted Miss Arnold. And here's what she said. She said, oh, Brother John, I'm so sorry for saying what I did. I get Billy Graham's magazine, and he says that we should listen to our ministers, for our ministers are there to lead us, and they're there for our betterment. And I wasn't listening to you. And so I want to apologize. I want to tell you that me and my ladies will be there next Sunday. We'll be there from now on. And I thanked Miss Arnold and told her how much I appreciated her. And then I hung up the phone and I got to thinking, Yes, God answered our prayer through Billy Graham. How many of you had a prayer answered through Billy Graham, huh? Well, he did. God used Billy Graham and his writing in that editorial. She loved Billy Graham, and she would listen to anything he had to say. You see, Paul also says, be at peace among yourselves. He's talking to the church. He says, you know, nothing disrupts the peace of the church more than a congregation and the pastor being at odds with one another over the work of the church. Amen. I'm not talking about personalities. I'm talking about the work of the church. So let's pledge this year to support Brother Jay and Josh as they strive to do the work of the church. Now, you may not agree with them on some point, but give it a chance. Give it a chance. You may disagree with them, but give them the chance that they need to lead the congregation. Let's see how it works out. It will be profitable for you as a congregation. So let's remember to listen and be submissive. Second of all, Paul tells us to have a love for Christian fellowship. Now, in Christian fellowship, it's not all roses sometimes. Because Paul says you're going to find many situations in the fellowship of the church that may not be what you thought the church should be doing or should be like. Paul says, warn those who are unruly. You mean there's unruly people in the church? Yes, there are. Those that are insubordinate and idle, that is, not working physically at a job or not working in the church or just not working, period. Paul goes further in 2 Thessalonians 3:6. He has what he says about these. He says, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Paul says, I've set the example. Paul held down a job while he was ministering. He was a bivocational minister. He made tents. And so he could say this. Paul is saying, don't listen to them. Listen to what I've told you. Paul goes on to say in verse 11, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner. Not working at all, but they're just plain busybodies. So this year, let us resolve not to listen to gossip or people who have nothing good to say. Because sometimes those can distract you from doing what God wants you to do and distract you from the attitude you ought to have. He goes on to say, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak. That's in the fellowship of the church. Proverbs 18:14 says this. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Some people have a real strong spirit, and they have infirmities, but they can make it through. But there's some people who have a wounded spirit, and they need to be lifted up. Hebrews 12:12 says, strengthen the hands that hang down and have feeble knees. Romans 14:1 says, welcome those who are weak in the faith, and do not quarrel over opinions. 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 opinions get us in trouble sometime. I used to have a saying coming up, silence is golden, let's all get rich quick. Sometimes that's a good saying. Sometimes it's just best not to say anything. I remember coming up and being in seminary, when I got into the church, I learned something to listen to that still small voice inside. When you were in a conversation with someone and you didn't quite agree with what they were saying, it is still a small voice that just shut your mouth. Just listen. Sometimes that's the best course of action. We are to uphold the weak. Be patient with all. Sometimes that's hard. Paul says in Romans 15:1, bear with the failings of the weak. You see, people in the church are going to let you down. They're going to be those that are weak in their faith. And they're going to let you down. They're going to disappoint you. It's then that we need to bear them up and lift them up. And we are to be patient with all. Now, I want to remind you that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It's supposed to be a part of your DNA as a Christian. You say, well, you know, I thought some people had patience and some people had prophecy. No, patience is what you're supposed to have. It's supposed to be who you are. Remember that God, through the Holy Spirit of God, works out patience in you. It's not just, boom, you're patient. I wish it were that way sometimes, but it's not. God works out patience in you, and maybe by dealing with people in the church, He can work out patience in you and make you a more patient person. Maybe it's through our children sometimes and our grandchildren. But it's been my experience that many times we in the church shoot our wounded. We don't take time to be patient with them. We don't take time to be caring and upholding them and comforting them when they need it the most. Have you ever wondered why some people are angry all the time? I think it's because there's something in their life, maybe you had nothing to do with it, that they're dealing with. Something in their life is causing them to be angry all the time. So don't take it personally. Make a commitment this year to comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and the weak in the faith. What can you do for the hurting this year? Jesus tells us in the parable of the Good Samaritan to take care of them. Go the extra mile, take care of them. Then Paul goes on to say, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. Remember, Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek sometimes. Absorb the wrong done. Striking back is not the will of God. And especially in the church, it does no good. Such fighting in the church gives a bad testimony to those who are weak, weak in the faith. It gives a bad testimony to the unsaved that are looking at the church and maybe looking at the church for guidance. And when they see fighting in the church, they say, well, this is not where I need to be. This isn't going to help me any. And they're going to leave. So please, remember, pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. In Leviticus 19:18, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. You want to be loved? Love them. This year, pursue what is good. pursue what is good. Next, Paul says, this next year, let us submit to Christ's lordship. Submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. What does Lord mean? It means boss. Submit to the fact that he's the boss of your life. You've committed your life to him. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. You've repented of your sins. And you've asked him to, quote, take control of your life. That means make him Lord. What's the first thing he asks us to do? He says, be joyful always. If Jesus is our Lord, we are told to be joyful. The Bible says to rejoice always. 2 Corinthians 6:10 says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. In essence, even if you're sorrowful, rejoice in the Lord. Even if you're having a bad day, rejoice in the Lord. Even if your girlfriend dumped you, rejoice in the Lord. When I read this passage, I think of Mary and Robert Beale, two very godly people that were in our church back in Texas. In 1983, they were living in South Korea. Robert was a government employee, and he was working there. And their daughter was flying out to meet them and see them. She didn't make it. Because on September 1st, the Russians shot down flight 007 of South Korean Air. It had wandered off course and ran over some of Russian territory. And every life on that plane was lost. Mary and Robert got the notifications, and it was devastating to them. But you see, Mary and Robert are special people. They believe what the Lord told them. And the Lord told them to be joyful in all things. Yes, they were sorrowful. They were broken. As you would be, as I would be. But they resolved in their heart. They were going to the airport to meet with the officials, going to the airport to be around the other family members that were on that flight coming into Seoul, South Korea. And they committed they were going to have joy no matter what. And that there were going to be people there that they could minister to. So they went into that situation and put their arms around others that were hurting. And prayed for them. In sorrow, they found their joy. The joy of the Lord. And God has allowed Mary to share that testimony over and over and over again. This year, commit to seeking joy, even in sorrow. Joy and sorrow. Paul says also, pray without ceasing. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times in the Spirit. In essence, pray without intermission. I like that. Pray without intermission. Don't stop. Live in a spirit of prayer every day. Strive to live in such a way that even if you don't feel like praying, that you pray. That's when you ought to pray. Maybe there's times you don't know what to pray for. We're told the Spirit of God will pray to the Father for the will of God for you. So this year, strive also to give thanks in all things. Commit to thanking God for all things. Because being thankful is a sign of lordship in your life. Be thankful in all things. Does it mean all things are good? No. Does it mean all things are going to be bright and sunny? No. But we're commanded to be thankful. Paul tells us that all these things are the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. All these things, rejoicing, praying, lifting up the fallen, giving thanks for all things, turning the other cheek, much, much more, are all the will of God for believers. That's God's will for you. You say you're looking for God's will? There it is. In black and white, in the Bible. There it is. This coming year, also, Paul gives us some do nots. There's always some do nots in life, you know. Do not park here. Do not skateboard on this sidewalk. You know, there's always some do nots. Paul says, do not quench the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are saved and sealed. What does it mean to quench? It means to put the fire out. Literally, that's what it means, to jump water on the fire. When God is moving in the congregation, do not put out the fire of God because of a bad attitude. Because it can happen. When God is moving and His Spirit is moving, don't be the one that puts the fire out. Do not suppress the movement of God. Maybe there's some things going on you don't quite understand and you can't quite grasp a hold of, but you know God's moving, and maybe you just better take the advice, that still small voice I talked about. Just be quiet. Don't put out the fire. And do not despise prophecies. That is the preaching of the word. Don't despise it. This literally is saying, do not despise utterly. That means to the max. Do not despise. Do not have contempt with mockery. Any discourse emanating from divine inspiration by Christian teachers. Paul says, don't despise it. Don't turn your back on it. And we're told also to test all things to see if they are of God. John 4:1 gets a bit more specific. John says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Always test teachings, preachings, and doctrines against the totality of Scripture. That's what we're supposed to do. The Bible is the gold standard for everything. Compare it to teachings. Compare it to preaching. Does it hold up to the gold standard of God, Scripture? Commit this year to abstain from every appearance of evil. Now, you say, well, I'm not evil. What is he talking about here? Evil is anything that brings hardship, pain, and trouble. Stop and think about it. Evil is anything that brings hardship, pain, and trouble, or wickedness. Abstain from it. If it brings hardship, pain, and trouble to others, resolve not to do it. I remember Paul was talking in one of his letters, and he was saying about the meat offered to idols. He says, really, it's just meat. You can eat it. But if it causes someone else to stumble, don't do it. Don't do it. Abstain from every appearance of evil. And then he says, why are we to do all these actions? Why are we to do all these actions? He goes on to say, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to take seriously all of these exhortations that we might be sanctified, made holy, to be set apart to a sacred purpose. Because Jesus is coming back one day, and we need to be ready to face him blamelessly. Blamelessly. Christ needs to find us participating in the Christian life. We need to have a reputation as a person of the way, a follower of Jesus Christ. We need to be resolved this year to keep these exhortations. Why? As our invitation song says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. That's why. You love God. You love Jesus. Keep his exhortations. Paul is trying to help the church be the church. He's trying to help them to stay straight in a day of corruption. He loves them and he cares about their everything that they're doing, that it may honor God, that they may be able to present themselves holy and ready to face Jesus one day. Let me ask you something. Are you ready to face Jesus one day? We can be assured because Paul told us he's coming one day. He's coming one day. That day may be sooner for some of us rather than all of us. Some of us are older. We may go to be with the Lord sooner than his coming. But are you ready to face him one day? You know God loves you. Jesus loves you. First of all, as a church member, God loves you. Maybe there's some things this year you need to resolve in your own mind and in your own head that you need to be doing, you haven't been doing before. Maybe you're bitter at something. Maybe you're hurting today, and you need God's peace in your life. God's waiting for you. What a great time to do it right now. Beginning of a new decade, as Josh said. A new decade. What, 10 more years? Another year. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I want you to know that God's waiting for you to make a move. He's done it all. The song says Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He's waiting for you. What are you going to do with Jesus today? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. If you're here this morning and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, we urge you to step out and make a public profession of your faith in Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to come and join this congregation. Brother Jay will be back next week. But maybe today is the day God's put on your heart. You need to make that move. Maybe you're struggling with life's issues. You're not quite sure how it's all going to turn out. Well, I've got good news for you. Jesus knows your issues. He knows who you are, and he cares about you deeply. Won't you turn control of this year over to him? Maybe turn control of the decade over to him and take it a year at a time. How's that? Whatever your need is today, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Jesus paid it all, hymn 249. If you're here and need him, we'll be here down here. If you need to pray, we'll be here. If you come to the altar's here. Whatever your need is today, won't you come